I started the summer off by doing a short series on our church's core values. And if you missed any or all of that series, you can find those teachings online. I did that series, and then I took a three-week break, which was great, and then I came back, and since then, I've done teachings on our church's mission and our church's vision. And again, you can find all of that online. Part of the value and hopefully utility of doing these teachings is now we have not only audio recordings of them, we have video recordings of them as well. So we have an archive of what I hope will be some basic introductory information about our church for anybody who ever wants to get online and watch it and know more about who we are or wants to know more about what it means to belong to this particular church. And with that in mind, I want to wrap all of this up this morning by talking a bit about what it means to be a member of the Preston Road Church of Christ. We have a formal membership process here at this church. It's not a complicated process, it's really not, but it is formal. And what I mean by that is we don't assume that you're a member of this church unless you first tell us that you want to be. Even if you attend every week, never miss a Sunday, if you don't formally declare, count me in, I want to be a member of this church, we don't assume that you're a member. Attendance is not the same thing as membership. Now, the way most people formally declare their membership, that they want to be a part of this church, is they check that little box on the friendship registry. You've probably noticed it. We'll zoom in. It's over on the right-hand side. It just says simply, I wish to join PRCC, just check that box. That's how it starts, a little check of the box. And you check that box and your life is never the same. At least we hope that's true. Really, though, don't we? Don't we hope that being a part of this church would change your life? If not, why are we here? But you tick that box and that does initiate a process. You get a membership questionnaire in the mail. Hopefully you fill it out. That gives us some information about you, your past church experiences, how maybe you want to serve in different areas here. It just helps us to know you better and gives us information we need for the database. And then moving forward in the future, we would also ask prospective members to be a part of a Welcome to Preston Road class. It's going to be a three-week-long class, and we're going to incorporate that into the process moving forward based on some feedback we've received, not only from current members, but also people who want to be members. They want to know more about us, and that class is going to be helpful for us to give some of that information to those who are checking us out. We have this process because there is, in our minds at least, a difference between being a guest, an attender, and a member. Guests show up once, twice, three times, sometimes in a row, sometimes it's spread out, and they're here to check us out. They're here to get a feel for what kind of church this are. We are. Are we friendly people? Get a feel for how well I talk on Sunday morning. I no longer have the ability to parse words. To get a feel for who we are we friendly? Do we teach from the scriptures? Whatever it might be, but they're here checking us out. And if they keep coming back, they stop being guests and they become attenders. They could be regular or sporadic attenders. Sporadic attenders may only come a couple of times a year, like Creasters. They come at Christmas and Easter, and that's it. But every year, they're here. Or they could be regular attenders and be here every week as much as possible. Regular attenders, their attendance patterns look very similar to the attendance patterns of our members. In fact, we have attenders that attend more than some of our members do, but it's not about just attendance. The difference between being an attender and a member is that members formally declare their intention to be a committed part of the body of Christ manifested here among these people meeting at the corner of University and Preston Road and known as the Preston Road Church of Christ. Members have said, we want to be a part of this. We're a committed part of this body of Christ. At least that's what it's supposed to mean. The truth is, membership has different meanings to different people. Some treat church membership as a way to gain access to religious goods and services, to claim or be entitled to benefits and privileges. Like when you join a club or you belong to a club, membership has its privileges. I overheard a couple of guys at a coffee shop the other day, and I get a lot of stuff by eavesdropping in coffee shops. These two guys are talking to one another, and one says, "Yeah, we've been members over there for several years now. They have a lot to offer. The family loves it." He could have been talking about the YMCA. Could have been talking about a country club. But he was talking about a church. "We've been members there for several years. They got a lot to offer. Our family loves it." See, membership has its privileges, has its benefits. One time I got a call from a family. The matriarch of the family had passed away, and the children said, "She was a member of your church, and would you do the funeral?" And of course I said yes. And then I started asking around. No one knew who this woman was. No one knew her name. No one remembered anything about her. Check the database. She was not listed even as an attender of our church, much less a member. There was no evidence that she had ever been a part of our church. But she was a member, and we need someone to do her funeral. And it may be a bit sad, because what if they called the wrong church? People do get confused. Maybe they were going for Preston Crest or some church in Preston Wood. Instead, they called Preston Road, and there's another church out there somewhere going, "Has anybody seen Mildred? Whatever happened to Mildred?" Well, their kids called the wrong church, and the wrong church buried her. That's what happened. It's also possible they thought I would be more likely to say yes to doing the funeral if they told me that she was a member. You're like, "No, people don't really do that, do they?" Take a minister or a pastor or a preacher to coffee sometime and just let us tell you some of our membership stories. Some families join churches, become members of a church, so that they can get the member discount when they use the sanctuary for their daughter's wedding. And as soon as the wedding is over, they're gone. We don't see them again until somebody dies and they need somebody to do a funeral. And then they're back. One time I had a guy call me and he said, "Pastor, I'm a member of your church." I said, "No, you're not. Because people around here don't call me pastor." Busted. Sorry, dude. Not going to help you. That's just the way it works. And I do not want to sound cynical or callous in telling these stories. But these stories are, at least for me, examples of how sometimes Christians use church membership as a kind of badge they flash to gain access to privileged and beneficial goods and services, instead of treating church membership more as being committed, being a functional, committed member of the body of Christ, which is how Paul talks about it in several of his letters when he talks about membership. And he never really talks about formal membership the way we do, but he does talk about being a member of the body of Christ. In Romans chapter 12, he says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others." And then there's a similar theme in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. He says, "Now you are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ, and individually you're members of it." And Paul goes on to talk about how when you belong to the body of Christ and you are a part of the body, a member of the body, you have a specific function. You're there for a reason. You have a gift. You have wisdom. You have strengths. You have experience. You have resources. Whatever it might be, you're there for a reason. And he says, Part of the reason you're a member of the body is the body needs your gift, needs you to function as a member of the body of Christ so the church can be all that God intends it to be. And he uses this illustration. He's really making another point, but the illustration applies to what we're talking about today, why we need different members doing different things in the church. We keep reading in 1 Corinthians 12, and actually back up to verse 14. He says, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. You're part of the body whether you act like a foot or not, if you're a foot. You don't just opt out of the body of Christ. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? If we didn't have different members with different gifts, with different functions, we could not function as the body of Christ, representing Christ to one another, to our neighbors, and to our community. So to be a member, when Paul says you're a member of the body of Christ, he's talking about using your gift to do what you're called to do as part of a church, the body of Christ. He continues, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. He said, in fact, God has placed the parts in the body. Every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Why are you here? Why do you belong to this church? There is a reason, and it is because God has brought you to be a part of this church. He has included and arranged you with your gifts to be a part of this church, so that this church can function as the body of Christ in the world. That is why you're here. God has willed it to be so and intended and arranged for you to be here, belonging to this particular body of Christ. So when Paul talks about being a member, church membership, he's not talking about choosing to join a church because it has a lot to offer your family. He's talking about belonging to the body of Christ because God has gifted you in such a way that you have something to offer the other members of the body. You're here for a reason if you're a member of this church, and it's because you have a job to do. You have a gift to exercise. You have a function to fulfill. And if you don't do your part as part of the body, we cannot be all that God calls and intends us to be as a church. We should miss you when you're not here. Church members occasionally complain that they weren't missed. They miss a few Sundays. You know, we were gone for four Sundays in the summer and nobody missed us, nobody called, nobody checked on us, nobody even noticed we were gone. What kind of church are you running there? Well, we could be really busy, we could be really distracted, we could be really tired, we could be gone ourselves. There could be some valid reasons why we didn't miss you. Maybe we're not as friendly as we could be. Maybe it is our fault. But on my bold, brash, ornery days, what I would love to say to somebody who says, why didn't you miss us? What I'd love to say in response is, why weren't you more missable? Seriously, you were gone for 4 weeks and no one noticed? Are you not a part of a class or a group? Do you not serve in a ministry? Do we not count on your contribution, at least in the collection plate, and somebody who fills that out and does our data, somebody would notice 4 weeks and not, what? Is it possible we didn't miss your gift to the body of Christ because you're not contributing much when you're here? So you're not missable. If you want to be missed, then be a missable part of the body. Now, come on, would I ever say that to anybody? I just said it to all of you. And there are caveats. So we're all at a different stage of our journey. We all are moving on from different experiences. And if you are here exploring Christianity and you do really just need to sit and soak and learn and listen, you don't need to be doing anything more than that. That's fine. And maybe you've had a hard experience at another church and you are here to recover and you're here to heal and you're not ready to engage yet. And yeah, you are just going to show up and listen and then leave. That's okay. But at some point, you grow beyond that. At some point, we all move out of that. And if you are a committed member of this church, well, membership has its privileges, but it also has its responsibilities and its commitments. And to that end, I want to share something with you that the ministers and the elders have been working on for several months, really several years. We call it a membership charge. Relax, it's not going to show up on your credit card unless you opt in for online giving, and then it might. This membership charge is a challenge from our elders with input from our ministers. And this challenge consists of five commitments that we believe will make us more like Christ as we engage these commitments on a deeper level, which in turn will then make our church a better representative of Christ in our community. Five commitments. You can read more about this charge online, our website, the About Us tab. There's some language that explains it in a bit more detail than I'll be able to this morning. But for now, let me just give you the five commitments. They're not super complicated. The first is commit to telling others the story of what God has done and is doing in your life. What are we calling you to do? Who are we calling you to be as a member of this church? We call you to tell your story. Always be ready to tell other people what God is doing in your life. That's the first commitment. The second is commit to attending weekly worship services at Preston Road, be here, and then finding community by getting involved in a Bible class or small group. There's really two commitments in there if you're counting carefully. There's being here for this worship gathering, but then also investing in another form of community, small group or adult learning community, Bible class type community. Something, this is what we do in rows, but also be a part of something where you sit in a circle and get to know people better. The third is commit to practicing a variety of spiritual disciplines and exercises to train yourself for godliness. We talked about this at length in the core series at the beginning of the summer. The fourth is commit to serving for the kingdom's sake. And that's really the commitment, but then there's some explanation. That could be serving in a ministry here at Preston Road, one of our ministries that take place here. It could be working with one of our partner ministries in the community. It could be working in some other ministry where you're using your gift for the sake of the kingdom. This is a commitment to serve. And then finally, commit to supporting Preston Road financially. And of course, we had to include that. And I hope you won't hear that cynically. Yes, we have bills to pay. Yes, it costs money to operate this plant and to be able to function as a church when we gather. We have salaries to pay. We have minister or missionaries that we support. We have ministries that we fund. And we do that through your contributions. So there's a functional part of this commitment. But there's also a value underneath it that this is the antidote to materialism and greed, generosity. More than anything, this is not just, hey, give us money. Church needs money. It is dedicate yourself to generosity, for that is the antidote to greed and materialism. Again, all of these commitments are designed to help us become more like Christ. We do not want these five commitments to become a legalistic checklist. And some of us have come out of or grew up in church environments where it was about checking boxes and taking care of the list and doing all of these things to maintain your membership in good standing. That's not what this is about. It's not a legalistic checklist. It's not a club we're going to use to beat up on each other. You need to be more committed. It's not a way for us to identify the super Christians among us. Just be realistic about what these five commitments are asking of us. If, depending on your age, your health, the age of your kids, some of these commitments are going to be more doable than others, your season of life. Not saying you got to be engaged in all five all the time. Depending on where you are in your spiritual journey, some of these are going to be more realistic than others. There is a time to sit and listen and learn, and there's a time to get up and go and do. Depends on where you are, and we're all in different places. I am super cautious. I am super sensitive, and the elders are as well. One of the reasons it took us so long to come up with these five commitments and say them in a way that we felt was appropriate is none of us, ministers or elders, none of us want to be a part of any kind of abusive church leadership structure where we're burdening you with commands and traditions and commitments that we ourselves can't or won't live up to. Really, these five commitments don't seem unrealistic or inappropriate to me. Here's my simplified summary statement of the five that'll fit on one slide. This is really what we're calling you to. Share your faith, show up for church as much as possible, take responsibility for your own spiritual growth. No one can do that for you. Use your gifts to serve others, and be generous. That's it. Those are the basics. That's what we call all of the members of the Preston Road Church of Christ to. That's what we as church leaders all want to live up to, because we believe these five commitments, when we engage in this kind of lifestyle, it makes us more like Christ individually, which helps us collectively as a church represent Christ in our community. So imagine how your life might be different. How checking that box and becoming a member of this church, if you're not already, how checking that box really could change your life if being a member means you're investing in this kind of lifestyle and saying yes to these kind of commitments. Becoming the kind of person who is doing these things out of an overflow of what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. We're wrapping up the summer. School's about to begin. As we wrap up the summer, we start a new ministry year with a new school year. Over the next several weeks, over the next month, you are going to be given opportunities to say yes. Yes to becoming a part of a class if you aren't already. Yes to becoming a part of a small group. Yes to volunteering and serving in a ministry. Yes to getting engaged and involved in some way in the life of this church on a deeper level than you have before. My encouragement to you today is simply be open to the opportunity. If you've historically said no, be open to saying yes. Yes, I'll come to class. Yes, I'll give a little more. Yes, I will sign up and serve. Let's take that next step forward toward a deeper commitment to the life of this body so that we can better represent Christ to one another and to our community. May God continue to fill us with His Spirit. For it is that Spirit that empowers us and gifts us and strengthens us so that we can be the body of Christ for one another and to the world.